All right, let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to the book of Isaiah, Isaiah the prophet, and chapter 33. Isaiah 33. Isaiah 33 this morning, and beginning in verse number 5, the Bible says, "The Lord is exalted, for he dwelleth on high. He hath filled Zion with judgment and righteousness, and wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thine times, and strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is his treasure. Behold, their valiant ones shall cry without, the ambassadors of peace shall weep bitterly. The highways lie waste, the wayfaring man ceaseth. He hath broken the covenant, he hath despised the city, he regardeth no man. The earth mourneth and languisheth, Lebanon is ashamed and hewn down, Sharon is like a wilderness, Bashan and Carmel shall off their fruit. Now will I rise, saith the Lord, now will I be exalted, now will I lift up myself. He shall conceive chaff, he shall bring forth stubble, your breath as fire shall devour you. The people shall be as the burnings of lime, as thorns cut up shall they be burned in the fire. Hear ye that are far off what I have done, and ye that are near, acknowledge my might. The sinners of Zion are afraid, fearfulness hath surprised the hypocrites. Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings?" Father, we ask your blessing upon the word of God here this morning. May it speak to us, convict us, encourage us, correct us, and do as your will sees fit. We know that your word will not return unto you void. It shall accomplish that which you set it forth to do. And we ask for that in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I always try to be sensitive to what the Lord would have me to preach. I try to mix it up. In some churches, unfortunately, they preach church attendance and tithing and soul winning. And those are the three subjects that are preached all the time. I'll tell you, if I was in a church like that, I'd probably go somewhere else, because there's so much more to be said. And you would think that we would be more encouraged, if you would, by hearing about heaven. Heaven's a wonderful place. But you know, when you read the gospel accounts, you find that Jesus spoke less of heaven and spoke more of hell. I'll say that again. When it came time to preach, Jesus spoke more about hell than he spoke about heaven. I've said many times over the years that the reason I trusted Christ as my Savior primarily was because of a verse, John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And on the surface, it may seem as though what struck me, what moved me, was God so loved. And I'm quick to remind people, no, it was not. It had to do with that perish business. It was the perish business that caught my attention. Everybody knows that God loves them. They're honest, they know that. But they'll oftentimes use the love of God as a means to not get saved. They'll say, well, if God loves me then I'm not as bad as so-and-so, so surely I'll be in. How could a loving God send a nice guy like me to hell? And I guess in the day in which we live, it does sound like it might be reasonable. But if you search the scriptures, I think what you'll find is the reason why we even need a Savior is because of our condition and because of the fact that hell exists. If it didn't, why would we need a Savior? The fact that we need to be saved clearly indicates that we have to be saved from something negative. And you can't get much more negative than hell. And so I don't preach on it all the time. I make people aware of it. But God spoke to my heart to bring it up. I've preached on hell many times over the years. And you just happened to catch me on a good day. And you'll get another one. You know, the question is asked here in verse 14. Who among us shall dwell with devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings? It's an interesting thought. Oh, we may look to our left and our right and say, I don't have a lot of hope for that one. But the reality is, it's about you. It's about you. It's about me. Don't be so concerned about somebody else. Remember, Jesus Christ is called a personal Savior. Yours. Now, I dug up these factoids here. Based upon conservative estimates and vital statistics, the number of people in the world dying and going to hell are this. 55.2 million a year. Let's back it up. That works out to be 151,200 per day, which is 6,316 per hour, which is 105 per minute, which is 1.75 per second. That's how quickly people are going to hell, folks. Are you going to be one of them? Will you be one of them? In Psalm 9 and verse 17, the Bible said, the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. Now, I'll tell you, we're living in a nation that is evidently forgetting God more and more. In Matthew 7 and verse 13 and 14, out of the mouth of Jesus himself, he said, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. He said, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Based upon what Jesus said, he said, many are going the way of destruction, and a few are going the way of life. Can I rephrase it for you? Jesus said, most of this world is going to go to hell. You know what the very next verse is in Matthew 7? I know. Someone will go, ooh, 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 I know. Verse 15? You would be right. And verse 15 is a warning. It says, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You know what that means? If you tie the verses together and you receive the warning, he says most people are going to go to hell and only a few are going to be saved and go to heaven. And so beware of false prophets who apparently in the context, what are they going to tell you? You're good. You're wonderful. Don't worry about it. Don't listen to that nut. He's crazy. God loves you. Yeah. That's what the false prophets and the false teachers will tell you in the last days. And I'm not going to be one of them. I'm not going to smile at you and say, I'm okay, you're okay, we're all okay. No, we're not. We need a Savior. Amen. And Jesus Christ is that Savior. Let me give you some Bible facts about hell. By the way, it's not a state of mind. God never intended for anybody to go to hell. It says in Matthew 25 and verse 41, then shall he say to them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Hell exists as the receptacle of punishment and eternal destruction of the devil and his angels. He doesn't want you to go there. Job, referring to Leviathan, another term for the devil or Lucifer, he said in Job 41 and verse 34, he beholdeth all high things. He is a king over all the children of pride. The devil is the king over all the children of pride. And you know what lost man is? He's very prideful. He thinks he's okay. He thinks he doesn't need a Savior. Where is hell right now? It's under your feet, folks. In Proverbs 15 and verse 24, the Bible said, the way of life is above to the wise, that he may depart from hell beneath. I'm going to be going. Never thought I would be doing this in my lifetime. But as fate would have it, my granddaughter and her husband had a baby while stationed in Hawaii. Oh, now I guess if I want to see my great-grandson, I'll have to go to Hawaii. And so while I'm there, I want to see a volcano. I want to see the earth, the center of the earth, bubbling out. I want to get a sense of the heat and the smell of the pit. I think it'll do me good. In Acts 2 and verse 31, the Bible said, he seeing this before spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. Matthew 12 and verse 40, for as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. In Ephesians 4 and verse 9, now that he ascendeth, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? In Psalm 86 and verse 13, for great is the mercy, thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. Isaiah 14 and verse 12 to 15, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. One of these days, folks, they're going to get their wish. You know, people always talk about, this is hell. Hell on earth. Well, you know what? Or they'll say things like, this is the pit. No, I got news for you. To the lost person, man, woman, to the lost, this is the most heaven you'll ever experience. But thank God, to the child of God, this is the most hell we'll ever experience. This is as bad as it gets. Now, near the end of the tribulation, God sends forth an angel from heaven. One of the most fearful things I see in the book of Revelation is in Revelation chapter 9, when God opens up the pit of hell. Pretty scary to me. It says in Revelation 9 and verse 1 and 2, the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit and the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. Down in verse number 11 it says, and they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. You talk about destruction. You talk about fear. One of these days, folks, God's going to open up the very pit of hell and unleash its inhabitants. Turn over to Isaiah 34. In Isaiah 34, he says, beginning in verse number 1, he said, come near, ye nations, to hear, and hearken, ye people. Let the earth hear, and all that is therein, the world, and all things that come forth of it. For the indignation of the Lord is upon all nations, and his fury upon all their armies. He hath utterly destroyed them. He hath delivered them to the slaughter. Their slain also shall be cast out, and their stink shall come up out of their carcasses. And the mountains shall be melted with their blood, and all the host of heaven shall be dissolved, and the heavens shall be rolled together as a scroll, and all the hosts shall fall down as the leaf falleth from the vine, as a falling fig from the fig tree. For my sword shall be bathed in heaven. Behold, it shall come down upon Idumea, and upon the people of my curse to judgment. The sword of the Lord is filled with blood. It is made fat with fatness, and with the blood of lambs and goats, and the fat of the kidneys of rams. For the Lord hath a sacrifice in Bozrah, and a great slaughter in the land of Idumea. And the unicorns shall come down with them, and the bullocks with the bulls, and the land shall be soaked with blood, and their dust made fat with fatness. For it is a day of the Lord's vengeance, and the year of the recompenses for the controversy of Zion. And the streams thereof shall be turned into pitch, and the dust thereof into brimstone, and the land thereof shall become burning pitch. Hell on earth, folks. It shall not be quenched night nor day. The smoke thereof shall go up forever. From generation to generation it shall lie waste. None shall pass through it forever and ever. This is at the day of Armageddon, and there will literally be hell on earth. It's going to be opened, and it's going to be visible, and it is going to be frightening. In Revelation 19, in verse 20, it says that the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. In the next chapter, in Revelation 20, in verse 1 to 3, and I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he shall be loosed a little season. Hell is going to remain open and visible throughout the millennium. In Matthew 5, in verse 29 and 30, Jesus said, if thy right hand offend thee, he said, pluck it out, cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members shall perish, and that not thy whole body shall be cast into hell. He said, and if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not thy whole body shall be cast into hell. In Matthew 10, and verse 28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. In Revelation 20, in verse 7 to 10, and when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Prior to the destruction of the earth, the devil is cast into the lake of fire. Peter writes to us in 2 Peter 3 in verse 12 and 13, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens shall be on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Look with me in Revelation 21. You say, you're scaring me. Good. Good. People are afraid of all kinds of things. They're afraid COVID may come back this year. You better be more afraid of going to hell. In Revelation 21, beginning in verse 1, he said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, come down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. You better take it, folks. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. During the tribulation, hell is opened to the surface of the earth and revealed as the lake of fire. And throughout the millennium, as a constant reminder, the lake of fire still bubbles and boils. And during that period of time, if you get out of line, you get cast in right away. Hereafter, the destruction of the earth that now is, and the recreation of the new heaven and the new earth, the lake of fire still continues to fume and seethe on the new earth. Compare this in Revelation 21 and verse number 8. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Look in the next chapter. Look in chapter 22 and verse 14. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates of the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. They're still there, folks. Outside the New Jerusalem, this place is still going to be there. Rather frightening. Back in Isaiah 66, and which, by the way, you see, we won't get into this, but there's a connection between all the books of the Bible and the book of Isaiah. The last book of Isaiah is chapter 66. The last book of the Bible is the 66th book. And so there's a connection between Revelation and Isaiah 66. But it says in Isaiah 66 in verse 22 to 24, "For as the new heavens and the new earth," sounds an awful lot like we just read in Revelation, right? He said, "which I will make shall remain before me, saith the Lord. So shall your seed and your name remain, and it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord. And they shall go forth and look," watch this, "they shall look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me, for their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be an abhorring unto all flesh." Anyone's going to be able to see this lake of fire and those suffering in it. Jesus warned about the worm that dieth not in Mark chapter 9, in verse 43 to 48. He said, "If thy hand offend thee," he said, "cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than to have two hands to go into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched." If your hand offend you. In other words, if the things that you do are keeping you from trusting Christ, he said, then cut off the hands. You'd be better off to go handless into glory than to keep your hands, keep all of your faculties, and go to hell. He goes on to say, "and if thy foot offend thee," the same thing, cut it off. In other words, if the places you go, the places you frequent, if those things keep you from trusting Christ as your Savior, you'd be better off to cut off your feet and never go there again than to keep your feet and just keep on going on your merry way and one day die and go to hell. Then he says, "if thy eye offend thee." You know what? The eye is what we look at. So we've seen thus far, if your hands, what you do is keeping you from trusting Christ, you'd be better off to cut. He's not saying literally do that. But he said, you'd be so much better off. You would be glad that you did that. And if your feet, the places you go, everywhere you frequent, you'd be better off not going there and getting saved. And then he says, and if your eyes, if the things that you're looking at, if you're more interested in the visual aspects of life, so you'd be better off to pluck your eyes out of your head and be blind than to go to hell. And he says, in each one of these, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Say, where is that? The lake of fire. The lake of fire. What kind of place is hell? Quickly, turn over to Luke chapter 16. I'm so tired of listening to goofball Jehovah Witnesses and other cults and isms out there that deny the existence of the place hell. Jesus said in Matthew 7 and verse 15, "Beware of false prophets. Beware of those characters that will tell you, you're okay. Don't worry about it." In Luke 16, it says, "There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." You go against the very words of Jesus Christ when you deny the existence of hell. Hell is a perverse place. I'm going to go to hell with all my friends. Well, then you're just proving that you're a pervert. It's a perverse place. It's a place filled with every type, every conceivable type of wicked sinner you can imagine. It's a petrifying place. When you get there, buddy, you'll know you're there quick. Just like it says here, he cried out immediately. You're not going to have to ask somebody to pinch you. You'll know in a heartbeat. And it's a paranoid place because all of a sudden you'll be looking for someone to care, and there isn't going to be anyone that cares. You won't have any friends in hell. You'll be so paranoid. What's that? Because everyone's out to get everyone else. It's a populated place. The Bible even records that hell enlarges itself. And it's doing so. I gave you the facts and figures of how many are going. 53 million a year. Almost 2 per second. And then there's people who can sit in a Bible-believing church week in and week out and hear the gospel message and reject it? You're a nut. It's a painful place. He says here, I'm tormented in this flame. Believe me, you won't be tormented in ceasing to exist. This is a place. Notice He says in the text, he says down in verse 28, for I have 5 brethren that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. As I said earlier, it's not a state of mind. It's a place. Just as real as where we're at right now, and just as real as heaven is. And believe me, there'll be an awful lot of praying. You may not bow your knee now, but at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. But I'll tell you what, when you go to hell, you'll be praying. This guy started praying right off the bat. There's no indication he ever said a prayer beforehand. But boy, he's praying now. Not only is he praying for himself, he's praying for his family. You know what's really sad? Not only is it a perverse, petrifying, paranoid, populated, painful, praying place. It's a permanent place. There's no getting out of there. And we read the verses over and over and over again. In Revelation, again, I mean, there's so much spoken of about hell in the Bible compared to heaven. In Revelation 14, in verse 10 and 11, says the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence. Watch this. Remember, the lake of fire is going to be open and visible. Not only to mankind that will be there, but it says in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. The capital L Lamb, Jesus Christ himself. And he's not, remember in John 11:35, it says Jesus wept. He's not going to weep one single tear for any of those people. You know why? Because he's done all that's necessary to save everybody. To save you. And you rejected it. And you think he's going to be sad because you rejected? Not in your life. He's given us all an opportunity to receive him. And he says here, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. It's a permanent place, folks. Our text this morning in Isaiah 33 and verse 14 says, who among us shall dwell with devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings? Not me. Not me. I know in whom I have believed. I'm persuaded he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Isaiah went on to write, This has been the source of many people who have trusted Christ as their Savior. I believe Spurgeon said that this verse is what struck him. It's in Isaiah, and it's verse 45, chapter 45 and verse 22. "Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else." You can't save yourself, folks. Only God can save us. And he set forth to send his son into this world to suffer, to bleed, and die in our place. What about hell? Oh, it's a real place. It's a real place. And we don't have to go there. And God's not willing, 2 Peter 3:9, he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I'm not saying that everyone falls into this category, but I sure was. I was special. I was special, unique, in the sense to the very first time I heard the gospel, I said, yes, that's for me. I didn't need Carly to come and play 27 verses of Just As I Am, and I get out there and beg, please come. The very first time I heard the gospel message, I said, that's for me. That's what I need. That's what I want. And I received him as my Savior. And I have no regrets. Sadly, there are plenty of people out there that hear it week in and week out. Heard it many times, received it, watched it on television, heard it in a gospel message, received a gospel track. They're so familiar with it. In this country, the gospel is so open to anyone that'll hear it. I mean, we don't see it too often anymore. Maybe we'll see it at the Super Bowl today. But they used to have at the baseball game, someone would sit behind home plate and hold up a placard that say John 3:16. They probably throw them out now. I don't see that anymore. You can be saved, folks. Hell is real. And it's not just an unpleasant state of mind. It's a real place. And people are really going there. And God doesn't want you to be one of them. Think about it. Think about it. It doesn't require any special talents or abilities in order to get saved. But it does require you to swallow your pride and say, you know what? I know I'm a sinner. And I believe that Jesus Christ died for me. I believe that he paid the sin debt of the world. And I want to trust him as my Savior. I mean, you can do that, right? I mean, you can't get much simpler than that. And there was the story that Jesus told in Luke 18 about a publican and a Pharisee and the religious person. He was going to continue to trust in himself. He was praying and he was grateful that he was this wonderful character. But the publican wouldn't even look up. He realized what a sorry character he was. But he said, Lord, would you be merciful to me, a sinner? When it was all said and done, Jesus said, which one of those characters went home justified? That's right, amen. The one that humbled himself, realized his need to be saved, and just did the only logical thing to do. Lord, would you save me? And I'll live for you the best way I know how from this day forward. But I need you to save my soul. I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to go to hell. See, that sounds pretty selfish. Help yourself. Help yourself. No one's going to care for your soul more than you. You pamper yourself day in and day out, don't you? How often do you go without meals because some people are starving on the other side of the planet? No. You eat just fine. And if you see a little excess around the middle, you say, I think I ought to go on a diet. I mean, we pamper ourselves day in and day out. You won't take care of your soul?
Yeah, that's good. Amen.
Hell is real, folks.